This episode comes from my personal favorite city of all time, New York City. I'm in the heart of Times Square, and I get to sit down with a social media expert who has hundreds of thousands of followers across all platforms and where his videos have received tens of millions of views as well. Truly amazing. He is a master at creating content that goes viral, and he has built a media empire, and we're gonna dive into all of that in this episode. I sit down with Tony Kariotis on the Invigorate Your Business podcast with George Strombolis, starting now. My name is George Strombolis, and I'm extremely passionate about traveling the world, meeting new people, and learning about new businesses. Join me as I sit down with other entrepreneurs to learn about their journeys. This episode of Invigorate Your Business starts now. All right. So we are in New York City and sitting here with Mr. Tony Kariotis from Boston. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, man.
I feel like you're more New Yorker than we are right now.
I believe it or not, I haven't been to New York as much as the last couple of years.
Right. But you were living here at one point.
1 year in 2019, I was a part-time New Yorker.
Part-time. Okay.
Part-time. I was here some weekdays and some weekends. So I would go back and forth. Literally, I'd say, okay, for the next 4 days, I don't have anything going on. I get in the car, I drive to Boston. Right. I go to Boston, I take care of what I need to take care of. 3 days would go by. I'm like, all right, I got everything lined up here. Let's get in the car. We're driving back to New York. And after like a month of this, the drive became so, I don't want to say quick, but like you would feel like you'd be in New York in a flash.
Right.
Because I'd leave at night knowing there's no traffic. I'm like, all right, I'll be there in exactly 3 hours and 18 minutes every time.
You knew exactly. Yeah. Well, it's the best of both worlds. Yeah. But so high level right now. So Tony started Grease Media, right? This is a business podcast. So we're going to talk about the business side of this. But Grease Media is this all-encompassing platform you've created, media company that covers just like so many different elements. It's impressive what you've built and what you're building. Just even downstairs, we were grabbing a quick bite and you're telling me about the next level and other stuff that you're adding into this family of offerings. But Grease Media includes, you know, advertising platform, content creation, capturing, you know, we have on the background here, beautiful footage from the Greek islands and everything, services for citizenship, languages, just this all-encompassing umbrella that you've built. So, very impressive. And then we'll talk about, you know, how viral your content has gone, the hundreds of thousands of followers, the millions of views. And then hopefully we could give some advice to other people aspiring,
for sure,
you know, to build their accounts and their brands and how to do that outside of Greece, right? Yeah. So welcome. Thank you so much for sitting down. We've been trying to line this up for a while.
Quite some time.
Right. So just talk to me high level. Like how do you pitch what Grease Media is?
This pitch changes every day. It really does.
It should.
It's the parts that I believe in the most that day, the ones that come out of my mouth.
Right.
Grease Media, I have always envisioned being this umbrella hub for the Greek culture, the Greece in general, marketing Greece. And like you said, there's different parts to it. One is, yes, we have built a pretty large following now. So one avenue is we do offer advertising to companies. If you want to put your product in front of potentially millions of people, we have packages for you. One other aspect is we help Greeks of the diaspora get their Greek citizenship if that's what they want. We can even help them get out of the army. No guarantees.
But who are you paying off for that?
A little fucking lucky. But yeah, we help people file for the citizenship, get their passport. It doesn't mean that we're going to get it done in a month, but what we are going to do is you're probably going to get it done quicker this way because the consulates, the embassies, they're all known to not answer your phone calls.
Yep.
But I have a team of specialists that have ins in every consulate on the planet when it comes to Greece. So let's say, for instance, you didn't have your citizenship. You'd come to me. We'd fill out some applications. I'd get you teamed up. They would file your paperwork. And if you did it on your own, you might get to the point where you're 6 months in, you call them, Ella, what's going on? What's going on? You sit back, let my team take care of it. They're the ones that are going to call them and say, hey, let me see George's file. Where's it progressing? So it'll get done, it just won't be delayed.
Gotcha. What could someone expect, like on pricing? Like someone listening today, like from start to finish, take the worst case scenario of I don't even know what village my mom's from.
The least, so the most expensive I've seen it come out to is about $4,000 to $5,000.
Okay, all in.
All in.
Yep.
The least expensive is probably around $1,500 to $2,000.
Gotcha. So that's if, can you check up on this and see where it's at?
Basically, the only thing that really differentiates it is how much paperwork needs to be taken care of, how much stuff do we have to dig up for you. But if your stuff, you have all ducks in order and all the paperwork is prepared and all we're going to do is submit it, it's going to be on the lower end.
Yep. Gotcha.
So that's the citizenship acquisition part. Then we have other things like travel services. Anyone going to Greece? So this targets the world, Phil Hellenes, people that want to go to Greece. So we have custom travel itinerary building, travel agents, anything that comes to travel, a pretty diverse travel blog when it comes to all different parts of Greece. I have a team that puts together great blog articles. So let's say you booked a trip and someone in your family wants you to go see Naxos. You read this, you're going to get a pretty good idea. You're going to see where I can book hotels there, where I can get a boat tour. Can I book this boat tour? All that stuff is pretty well put together on the site.
Absolutely.
So that's the travel aspect.
And I've seen it and it's like very detailed. The travel aspect, you also do custom, right? So if there's an American family or Canadian or whoever, right? So just to the world, and they want to go to Greece, and the world tells them go to Athens, go to Mykonos, and go to Santorini,
Yes.
But if they want a different experience, your team can offer a package based on what they're...
So there's different ways we can go about it. You can say, I want to go the traditional route, team me up with a travel agent. Or we have a package that we call Greece Trips. Greece Trips is, you go on our site, you fill out about 50 questions. It's basically a personality questionnaire. Then what we do is we take that, and we build a trip for you. You don't get to pick anything.
Okay.
We're going to build you a thing. It's going to ask, what are some places that you've been to already? Do you want to see somewhere new? So we'll put an itinerary together for you with all the bells and whistles. You can come back and say, up to one time, you can say, I don't like it, start over. But you only get one of those.
Yep.
And then if there's two versions of Greece Trips, there's the standard one where you take your itinerary, you run with it. Then there's the premium version where we will go out of the way and book you your hotel. After we decide the hotels you're going to stay at, the boat tours you want to do, this, and this, we'll call in all your reservations, make sure everything's taken care of.
Awesome. Yep. So that's that platform. And then there's like languages.
We do have this part. I've teamed up with a few different language teachers. And if someone wants to sign up to learn about the language, we can find them a great tutor.
Amazing. So in doing this, you offer these services, but what the audience should listen, right? Like stepping away from Greece for a second, it's just your online presence across YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We're talking hundreds of thousands of followers across all your personal accounts, business accounts, and several millions of views across content that's gone viral, right? Yeah. So you have different series with comedy, and we'll get into that. You have other just beautiful, your naked series where you'll focus on an island or an area and you just capture video and make it in this serene type, right? Like you go into a fancy restaurant, you want that on the background. Yeah. So just talk to me about that. Like, how did you even start getting into social media and building that?
So that side of it started, I want to say the summer of 2016, I was on a trip. I was not in the content creation world, not on social media. I had my personal Instagram account. That's it. No Greece, no I am Greece, no nothing. And then we went to Milos and we saw that beach, Sarakiniko. It was my first time. I took this one picture and then afterwards, I'm like, wow, that is a cool picture. I did a nice quick edit to it. And I posted online and it started getting, before this, I never knew a post can go to the explore page and get all these crazy views. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So many people saw this and it is unique, obviously. So then I'm like, and then I got the travel bug like the summer before. I'm like, I want to find a way, or it might have been that summer. This all could have happened that summer. I want to find a way to turn Greek island hopper into my job. I literally said that to the people I was traveling with that summer.
How old are you at this time?
This was 7 years ago. So 33.
So really quick, you basically at that point said something that everyone dreams about and you made it into reality, right? 7 years later, you spend months at a time in Greece traveling, going to, how many islands are there? They say 6,000.
They say 6,000, but 227 are inhabited.
Okay.
And I've been to, if I include uninhabiteds and inhabiteds, I'm at like 45.
Jeez. Yeah. And a lifetime to go, right? You need 20 lifetimes to.
It's not possible to see it all.
So let me ask you. So you get that first post up there, goes viral. You weren't a social.
It didn't grow like followers or anything, but I just saw the feeling of a post getting traction. So then I'm like, it's got to be something. Maybe the social media can do it. So I had this other page that we were promoting. We had started doing this Greek night in Boston. Part of my, so under the Teriki Classic Foundation that I do, we started doing this annual Greek night. And we just created a page to post pictures from these nights. It was never designed to do anything more than that.
Right.
So what I'm like, oh, let me post it on that. And started doing extra. I'm like, all right, people like pictures of Greece. So I started posting pictures from that trip on that page. It was growing, And we had stopped doing that night that year. We did a few and we said that was, it served its purpose. So I'm like, that count's just sitting there. Let me just post some Greece pictures. It was growing. I'm like, and then I had the opportunity to have the At Greece page. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to start moving these here. And then that was growing fast because obviously the page comes off as like it's Greece's page. Yeah. So I had that. It's like a handicap.
You're touching upon that briefly, but so the listeners understand, the handle Greece, At Greece, was available. How did you scoop that up? Can you share that?
What I will say is right place, right time.
Okay, great. So people understand the Greek National Tourism Organization, the GNTO, that job is to promote Greece. Handle is Visit Greece.
Correct.
Right?
Visit Greece GR.
Visit Greece GR. Yours is just Greece, which is the ultimate handle, right? It's like Switzerland, Canada. Like you own that account.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of followers there, creeping up on the follower count that the actual government has.
Correct.
And in my opinion, like the content is incredible. You could say superior to that, right? Like you're doing, right? Like the photos, everything. Everything you post on that page, is that your content?
Not always. I go through phases where I do post my work, and then I'll go through a phase where we're going to start sharing people that tag our page. Because we get tagged hundreds of times a day. So a lot of people will post a picture, they'll do all their tags, Visit Greece, they'll always put Greece. So I'm like, there's a lot of content out there. Okay. Let's share the people's. So I'll put their video, I'll say video credit by, put their name. And then during the summer, it's mostly my work. While I'm traveling around, I'll post it on my personal page, and I'm there.
Yep.
So after the Greece page started growing, I'm like, all right, I don't want this to be a page about me because then there's a ceiling to it. I want this to really look like Greece.
Yep.
So I need an identity page if I'm going to grow my personal side. So I used to follow this silly meme page unrelated to Greek that was really big. And in his profile, it said the admin's name. And it was basically the same username, but with the word I am before it. I'm like, that's clever. I like that.
Yep.
So I'm like, let's see if I am Greece is available. It was available. I snagged it right away. And then I just started posting my personal pictures again, just to quickly get the follower count up. And then after about, I always had my face in it. And then I just said, okay, this is going to be my personal brand. I am Greece. And my company page is Greece.
Yep.
And then that other page that we used for the Greek nights, which turned into Greek pictures, which turned into Greek memes, the Hoopla Greeks. It's more of a fun page just to keep pulling people into the ecosystem.
Yep.
But it's the Greece and I am Greece is what drives it all.
What drives that. So the actual Greece page, right? Is that a monetization play or is it just help the overall brand that you're building?
The At Greece, that's what pulls in the followers that see all of our products, our services, our travel blogs, our articles. I mean, that's where 80%, 90% of our followers exist.
Right. So, I mean, let's get a little...
Without those numbers, our advertising packages don't hold water.
Totally. And for the listeners, go check out At Greece on IG, but it's 300 plus, almost 400,000 followers.
Yeah, we surpassed 300,000 a couple of weeks ago. We're at like 320 right now.
That's insane. Yeah. That's insane.
And I haven't really told many people this, but I also now have it on TikTok.
You got at Greece on TikTok. Good. Just in time for the government to shut it down.
Yeah, just in time to get shut down. I actually got it in September.
Yeah.
I didn't start developing it because of that. I'm like, I want to wait till things calm down with TikTok before we spend time on it. So it exists. I put a few videos up there, but I never promoted it yet.
Yeah.
At Greece, we have that just in case somebody else got it.
That's huge.
Then there'll be conflicts.
While we're on the topic of the Greek government, right, and how they promote it, what do you think? Like, are they doing a good job or are they doing a poor job in marketing Greece today? And then let's go back 10 years ago because it has changed. Let's,
they go through waves.
Right.
They go through waves where sometimes like, all right, that is, they're doing a good job here. And then they just disappear.
So, okay. Are you a politician? That was a very political, like, what could they do to improve? Because who's the minister of tourism now? Kefalogiannis, I think. She's back.
Yeah, it cycles every year, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So she used to be, then the
then
last...
Then it's like the health guy comes in.
It was the... Yeah, exactly. They are recycling people there.
Musical chairs.
Yes. But like, you know, and then they did something special. So there are marketing guys in Greece, right? So there's... Steve Vranakis, big career outside of Greece for Google, comes back. Yeah. I think he was Greece's first and only CMO, chief marketing officer, chief brand ambassador.
Yeah.
So they did that. And then they did the virtual tour during COVID, right? So that was great. So like you said, in waves, there's some cool stuff they've done.
It just doesn't stick. That's the problem.
It doesn't stick.
Like they'll come up with a nice idea. They'll push it for a couple of weeks and then they'll just... You won't hear about it again.
Right. So what would you do if you were in that position? What would you do to improve it? What would you improve? Is it, it's not just Instagram, but like the campaign, like how would you promote Greece to the world in a better way?
I think it just has to become more fun. I think it comes off a little stale.
Right.
I think you got to humanize it a bit more. Feel the audience. Just be more fun about it. I think that's why our pages are growing well, because we keep things fun. We keep things like it might not be a meme page, but we'll sound fun in the captions. I think that stuff matters rather than just basic static information.
Yes.
I'm not going to follow a page that just, oh, it posts a picture of the red beach and all it says is the location, but there's no feel to it. There's no personality to it.
Absolutely. So how important is that? Like just posting in general, like how important is the caption? Are people just scrolling?
I think what it matters is being a personality, because what I have noticed were at the speed I am Greece is growing. I believe in, even though it has a third of the followings Greece has, it's more influential of a page because there's a person behind it. There's trust. There's an identity.
Yes.
Whereas, okay, Greece. Business. I don't know who's really behind this. It's great. It gets its views. But when there's people like people at the end of the day, and
you humanize it with the I Am Greece account.
So if there's a person doing it with their face out there, it'll always do better than a big account that's just a company name.
Yeah, that's great advice. So when you started building it, you have a great story, right? With the charity that you started, the media appearances that you've done here. Throwing out the first pitch at...
I didn't get to throw the first pitch, but I got to get on the field.
Oh, you didn't throw it? Okay, this interview's over.
Yeah, seventh inning. I was the only one on the field.
Get out of here.
But they brought me out to honor me at the Fenway at the Boston Red Sox game. It was from the sideline. I came out to the outfield. I did like the presidential wave.
How cool is
that? They read off a 60-second script about what I do.
Okay, so we're going to pivot. We're going to come back to this. So Fenway, Boston, Red Sox, top three fields in the country when it comes to baseball, right? Like just historic, awesome. I've been there.
And I was on the Jumbotron.
Yeah. So, and we'll put up the B-roll to show that. But how do you even, like, why were you out there?
I have no idea.
You're just streaking across the field.
I put a bet in Vegas that I'll streak the field. Every year there's Greek Heritage Night for the Red Sox and the Celtics. And when they were putting the Red Sox one together, I had helped get the basketball one, get it off the ground back in 2017. And then this committee that also does the Red Sox one is kind of like, they've been running it now the last few years, which is great. They're doing a good job at it. And they reached out saying, hey, you're going to be there. I'm like, I'm going to miss the baseball one because I'm going to be in Greece. And they're like, well, I just want to let you know that I was going to nominate you as the hero among us this year. And I'm like, oh.
The hero among us?
No, among us.
Among us. I like hero among us better. Yeah.
I think hero among us is a term the Celtics use, but the Red Sox have some other phrase.
Okay.
Something along those lines. I'm like, all right, what does that entail? Like, yeah, they're going to call you out in the field. They're going to talk about you for 60 seconds. You're going to get a little award and you're going to get out of there. And I'm like, oh man, like, but I'm going to Greece.
Jeez. Once in a lifetime thing. Yeah, yeah. Or...
I'm like, Maria, so I might have to delay my trip a week. She's like, why? She goes, because this isn't this. She goes, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, I should stay?
Yeah.
Or should I tell them? And she's like, you're an idiot. So we went, right? And awesome night. They do like the Greek dancing on the street before the game. They got people, everyone's wearing a Red Sox shirt that's designed for Greek night with blue sleeves, Red Sox written in like a Greekish text. And then they're like, around the sixth inning, we'll text you, come meet us right here. The guy's going to show you what to do. The camera guy will be there. So I'm there. I'm like nervous as hell.
Right.
Like, now I have to step on the field in front of all these people. And I know like a lot of friends were in the stands too. And they were like, they knew it was going to happen. I go, oh, man, this is really, I don't know what to do. And the guy goes, calm down. I'm going to be right there with you. You just look at people. You just look from here to here. Just go like this. Go like this. They're going to think you're looking at them. But all you're doing is just looking at the crowd. You're going to be fine. And so they're like, now we know we'd like to introduce this, this, and this. I get out there and I'm just doing the presidential wave. And it went by really quick.
Ooh, so what were they reading? It was honoring you for the
for my philanthropic work between the Teddy K Classic and Grease Media.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So you get that, which is cool. Now let's talk about Teddy K now,
yeah.
Since that came up.
So you lost your father years ago, right?
Yeah.
Worst disease, cancer. And then you decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to start something to honor him,
yeah.
And tie it in with your passion, which is basketball,
yeah.
Right? And was it your father's passion as well?
Yeah. So basically we started the tournament because he was a really strong staple in the Greek sports community in our area.
Okay.
He helped get a couple of the leagues off the ground, get started. He coached one of the teams, the team that me, my brother, my sister played for throughout our high school years. And we just felt it's only right. Let's do something to keep the memory alive. So we launched the first tournament he passed in November of 2008. And by April of 2009, we did the first annual. And we kept it simple that year. We just said we're going to do an older division and a younger division. We had a total of like 12 teams that first year, 3-day event. It went by. It was the championship game was one of the most memorable games ever. It felt like he was there for it. And fast forward, we're about 15 years in now. And around the eighth year, we reached about 28 or 30 teams.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's
and we had to go from, originally it was like Friday night to Saturday till Sunday afternoon. We go from Wednesday at 5 p.m. till Sunday night at 10 p.m.
Cramming it all in. No way. What the first year you started it, how many years after your father passed? Like how long did it take to...
So he passed in November of 2008. The following April was the first annual.
Oh, wow. So you didn't wait at all. Right, you got that going.
Yeah,
very good. And you've given over 40 scholarships, I read?
Yeah. So we do one scholarship a year for the main prize. But a little bonus that we do for any senior that applies, if you don't win, and let's say there was 5 more applicants, we allocate another portion of the proceeds and we divide it by the amount of applicants.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So they'll just get a small check for being there, being a part of the tournament.
Yeah. So 15 years later... Do you still feel like what you originally thought you would feel doing this for him?
Yeah.
Like you feel like he's being honored every year.
Yeah, no, for sure. And everybody comes in. It's no longer just a basketball tournament. I call it a basketball festival because it's literally 5 days. We got the grill going outside. We got music playing inside during timeouts and halftime. People are there just to like see each other. People come just to be there for the Teddy K. Like people that don't even play basketball come because they know they're going to see some friends. They're going to hang out. And then there's the kids that come just to play.
Yeah. And is it only Boston area or is this?
So around the ninth annual, so around 6 years ago is when we finally got our first out of New England team. Brooklyn started coming.
No way.
Yeah. We got a few teams out of Brooklyn. New Rochelle now comes. We've got close to getting Chicago a couple of years now. There's hopes that they're going to come this year. They've been trying each year. It's just that weekend for them has always been a little difficult.
Right.
They said this year they're more than likely coming. We've had some other interests around the country, but coming out on a road trip is difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dude, it'd be cool to tie it in with like Goya somehow, right? Like right now in California, the Goya League's going on and every church has their, that's really cool. What has this opened up for you just from getting the name out there? And it must have opened some doors as well, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. You're always meeting amazing people through this. And a lot of friends in my life have come through that program. Growing up, I mean, it's an extension of our Goya League out there. And most of my friends in life were through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's grown to some really cool places where even the Greek news covers us. I got a friend that writes for the Lakitika in Greece. And every year, each night, so like Wednesday night, the first night, I call him like, Ella, here are the score updates. And then Thursday night, Ella, this team beat this team, this team beat this team. I just send him the info. He goes, all right, send me 10, 15 pictures each day. So the next day, I'd go down to the Greek market. I'd pick up the Kitika. And back page, the entire thing, you just see Teddy K Classic pictures with the covering the day.
That's great, man. Yeah.
And then on Sunday night, he posts our family photo that we take on the stage with the banner. And he just puts another thank you by the Kariotis family. And we get the back cover.
That's amazing. Okay, so talk to me. You've had some big media experiences, right? Back in the motherland. The Barbara Walters of Greece. Like, how would you even explain Meneraki? She's the...
Yeah, it's like Ellen, Oprah, I guess.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I dated myself like Barbara Walters. But she is the one. And you were invited onto her show and featured about you, about your now fiance, which we'll talk about as well, Maria. So talk to me about that. And actually, before you even get into that, let's talk about your mini series, because that's what's kind of opened up a lot of doors for you. So the tag is Ep Apagorevete. So to the non-Greek listeners, it's forbidden.
Yeah,
right.
That's
like,
forbidden.
It's the forbidden series.
It's as simple as that, forbidden.
So talk to me about that, and where did that even start?
So the story goes, we're on an island hopping tour. So this was my first year in Greece with Maria. We had recently left. We were either in Mykonos or Santorini, and we went to Phalegandros. And from there, we went there to meet up with a friend. And then from there, with her, we went to Sedifos afterwards. And one day, we're just driving down to the bakery to grab our morning coffee to head to the beach. And I start parallel parking in front of the bakery while Maria gets out. And then this guy, as she gets out, she's walking in. I'm like parallel parking. He gets up, he just comes with his motorcycle and puts it behind me. And he goes, buy whatever. And I'm like, what'd I do? And he didn't respond. He just left.
Right.
He got off his bike and he walked away. And then this lady comes out. Could have been his wife. They probably both worked at the bakery. About whatever this week, baby. And I'm just up in arms now. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing wrong? She goes, you can't park in front of the bakery. You're blocking the view. And I'm like, look, first of all, we're just grabbing three coffees. Second of all, if I go straight, that means I got to go up that mountain, around here, around there, just to come back. No, I'm sitting right here. We're going to be 30 more seconds. Look, she's already coming out the door. And she's like, so then she gets in the car. She's, what happened? I'm like, these guys were just yelling at us. And then the rest of the day, I was just, I couldn't get it out of my mouth. It was just sitting here like, whatever, everything. And then you notice, when the word's in your head, you notice how many signs in Greece say, whatever. But in Greece, Ola pa whatever, Alla ole epitrepe.
Yeah, exactly.
And for translation, yeah. Everything's forbidden, but everything's actually allowed. Yes. You're fine. So I'm like, every few minutes, I'm like, ah, another one. So then a week later, the three of us, we had signed up to go do this event. And then afterwards, they took us to a luncheon. Everyone's going to go to Taverna. We're going to feed you. Great. And we're just sitting there. We're done now. And I'm just like playing with a toothpick. And then this idea comes to my mind. And I hand my phone to my friend across. I'm like, video me for a second. I have an idea. She goes, what? Just video me. She said, I'll tell you when to pause. And I'm just like, I do a left, right, hip, and then I'm like, all right, that's all I wanted. She goes, what was that? I'm like, she knew the part, whatever. Yeah. She started, so she chuckled. And I'm like, I think I got an idea. So then I posted that. Just that's it. And I wrote Greek granddads for no reason. Greek grandfather for no reason.
Exactly.
And then a week later, it did all right. A week later, Maria and I are up in Kavala to visit her family. And they have this balcony and you can oversee. And she's sitting here. And I'm just leaning over the balcony the way a grandfather would be surveilling the neighborhood.
Yeah, Greek like, surveillance.
Yeah. I'm like, video me. I got an idea. So I'm just like leaning over. I'm like, yep. So I post that and I just wrote the same thing. Like Greek grandparents surveillance in the neighborhood. Did it really well. So now we leave Kavala. We went to another island, went to Lefkada, and then it was time to go to Kalymnos. And I had reservations at this villa that I promote every year, and we were going to stay there. We went there, and they have this, it's a beautiful piece of land. They you have the balcony, you have a pool, you have fig trees. Down below, you have a dock with the seas right there.
I've seen your footage, yeah. Magical.
And I'm like, Maria, I got an idea. We're going to do something. I got it. I'm going to be the old grumpy Greek guy. And you're going to be that cute little girl just trying to live life. We're going to start off. You're going to go into the fig tree. And you're just going to... I'm going to video you. I'm going to come up close. And I need you to do is walk in and say, oh, I wonder if there's any good sika. Fig. And then imagine I yell ep, because I don't want to yell at this close. It's not going to come out good. And just snap your head like as fast as you can. We did that snap. We shot it 15 times.
To get the right snap?
Yes. And people texted me about this like months later saying, it's Maria's snap that sells this. Yeah. It's Maria's snap. Let her know that I personally said how great of a job she does in the snap.
Yeah.
So she just turned like... So, and then I'm going to be up on the balcony holding my scotch. And I'm just going to be like, and then I'm going to take a sip. And I'm going to put it down. And that's the video clip. So we posted that. People like texting me like, yo, you have gold here. Run with this. Like, come up with every concept. So then we have the pool. And the number one rule in Greece, in hotels, you're not allowed to dive in the pools.
Right.
I'm like, all right, here's the next scene. You're going to run. You're going to say pool time. And you're going to run into the pool. It's going to cut to me. You're going to hear Ep, and then it's going to come back to you, and you're just going to try to like freeze your tracks. And then just face plant into the water. And then I'm just going to say, Ep, I got it. And that one blew up. That one was so far as close to 2-3 million views.
2-3 million yeah. Views on that one.
Yeah.
I know that one where she's just sitting there. Yeah. Yeah.
If I accumulate the three times I've posted it, the one that took us from a cute, fun series to holy shit, everybody in Greece knows it now, is the baby one. Have you seen the baby one?
You on the beach?
And his baby's crawling on my shoulder.
Yeah.
So this was super organic. We're at the beach one night with my cousin, his wife, and their baby. And the baby's just like nagging my arm. Like, and I'm like, what? And then just me going, yeah, gave me the idea. I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, hey, Jimmy, video. And just give him the phone. I'm like, just, hit record. And then he's like really crawling out. I'm like, yep. And then he just freezes and starts crying.
Right.
And that video in the first 10, 20 minutes got 50,000 views. And by the end of the week, hit 2 million views.
Within 1 week?
I think so. Week.
Let's call it. On IG or
TikTok? This is on TikTok.
TikTok, okay.
And it got to the point where people took that screenshot. And when they would do like their YouTube videos, YouTubers
when they want to say the word about whatever, they just posted that.
Yeah.
So then
that kid's still in therapy sessions, by the way.
We go to Athens at some point and we start feeling the attention. People in the streets. Yep. Up by whatever. Yep. I'm like, oh my gosh.
The same trip.
Same trip within a week.
That's insane.
I'm like, because we were heading up north and we stopped in Athens first and people are noticing us. And on the drive up north, we had our two friends from Kalymnos come with. We stopped in Larissa to grab coffee. Sorry. We went to Kavala again first because they wanted to come with us to go see Maria's village. So we went to Kavala again. And the way down, we did a few skits up there. One was like picking olives off of public trees. Right. And I'm running with the sayonaras, the sandals. That one did really well. So we stop in Larissa and we're just walking through this. It was like siesta time. So like it was pitch quiet. And then this couple comes around the corner and they give us a double look as all the four of us are trying to find a coffee shop. And they start chuckling. And then she's like, oh, aftos me to pago erete. And then I'm like, Maria, did you hear that? And then we turn around and we start waving and they start cracking up.
Isn't that crazy though?
Yeah,
that
yeah. It was nuts. We're like, guys, this is some, like, we just stopped in a random city along the way. Yeah. Like, this is probably everywhere right now. So now it's like really picking up traction. We're just pumping out a skit every other day. And then.
Are you still getting the same traction as it?
Yeah, I think I was hitting 500,000 consistently.
On every one that you were doing. That's crazy.
The average ones that weren't that, like, if they weren't super relatable, we'll still get close to 100,000. But the relatable ones surpassed 500,000.
Jeez. Those are a lot of eyeballs. Right?
Yeah. So I think so far we've hit like 35 million views on Pa Whatever.
35 million views have seen that.
Probably close to 40 now because that 35 million, it cooled off a bit, but that 35 million was last season.
Yeah.
I think since then it's got to be another 5,000 of just like randomly coming.
That's insane. So I got to ask you on that. Is that a chapter? Like, do you think you could do more of this or is that a chapter? And then what's next?
I think it can continue. Okay. I think it can continue. And I think the break was good because if I just constantly shove it down people's throat, it could become eventually annoying.
Right.
So I think I do want to bring it back, but at the right time. Like I did recently shoot a couple. I've actually done a few as jobs now.
Okay.
Where people have called and said, hey, we want to do some advertising, but we want you to do an apa whatever for our product. And we've done we've done maybe five of those so far.
Okay. Yeah.
Those are fun and people get it. All right. He's actually doing business out of this now. So like they respect it. They're not going to leave a bad, like some, a hater is not going to leave a bad comment there.
No. Well, and then the other thing I was going to say, well, how do you, and not everything has to be monetized, but the listener is probably like, well, okay, 30, 40 million views. That's insane. How do you monetize that? Well, maybe not directly off that, but it creates another platform for you.
Yeah, it creates more opportunity, more eyeballs, and more eyeballs can turn into more business.
Absolutely. Like,
there's people that I've done business with because they only heard about me through that.
Yep.
So that's monetization, huh?
100%. And then this series takes off, and then you have all media in Greece looking at it now. Yep. So coming back to the...
Yeah, so I'll tell you how they connected with us.
Yeah.
So on the episode we shot in Kavala... That was just briefly said about the olive tree in the public street. So that video, we're just walking around town and our friends that came with us from Kalymnos, the guy goes, oh, here's an idea. Do one with the public olive tree where us three will be picking olives and you just say, about whatever. Like, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Let's do it. But let's mix it up. Well, I'll be coming running after you guys. So it was Maria, him and our friend Fotini. And so the scene starts where, but we gave this a different twist. I was like, guys, make it more like you guys are the commenters at this point.
We're like, this guy again.
Starts off with a picking olives and they just hear it. Yep. And then she turns, she just goes like this. She's like, Pali aftos, this guy again. And then I'm just like, Tisho Ziba. And then you see this Maria going, and then I'm like, I bought it. And I'm running in sandals trying to chase them. And it cuts. And then I saw a comment by someone with a blue check back before blue checks were only given by Instagram.
Yep.
So I'm like, who is this guy? And I didn't know his name. He left a comment complimenting the acting of the girls. And I go to his page. And I'm like, he works at Mega TV. Eleni Benigakis on Mega TV. So I go to her website and I realize it's the co-host.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So like I left him a reply and he replied back. So I'm like, all right, he's talkative. Let me hit him up in the DMs.
Absolutely.
So I just DM him. Yep. And he replies, yep. I'm like, whatever. He gives me a five whatever back. I'm like, what's up, man? Like, thank you for the comment, the love. Appreciate it. Let me know your address. I want to send you a five whatever shirt for being a fan. He goes, you send me a shirt? I'm like, yeah, I want to send you a shirt. He goes, all right. So then we print up, we had some shirts printed up. So Maria did all the cute packaging because if I would have just thrown in the box. So she's got them all cute. We gave him a sweater and a t-shirt. We go to the post office. Like, it'll be there in 5 weeks. I'm like, I don't give a crap when it gets there, as long as it gets there.
Yeah.
So we send it. And he never had replied to one other message, but he gave me his address. So I'm like, that's all I need. But I didn't want to double text him now after a month. Hey, did you get the shirt? At this point, it's let God take care of this.
Yep.
And then one day we get a mention in my story of a tag by somebody that works backstage with him. And it was just him. They were hanging on the backstage and he had his Apollo whatever the shirt on. And I'm like, hey, Maria, he got it. And he's at work with it. Imagine he wears it on the air. I'm like, but I doubt it. But imagine he wears it on the air. So we're like, there's only one way to find out. We're watching it. So we get the laptop out. We put it on the we're sitting on the couch. We just placed it right in front of us in the ottoman. And the show starts. It's obviously focusing on her and the camera's slowly going like this. And like, it's just like boiling inside. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. He might be wearing it. Cuts to him about whatever. I jumped from this seat and I probably landed on the couch that was probably right over there. I just jumped like a chipmunk.
Yeah, you're like, my brand's out there.
I'm like, he fucking wore it. We're just like losing it. And then I quickly DM him like, hey, thank you so much for being on the show. This is incredible.
That's a cool move on your part and theirs, right? Sending that.
Yeah. And there was no response since, all right, I'm going to send you a shirt. There was no more communication. And then I sent him that. He goes, oh, of course, man. Thank you. I love the shirt. And then I'm like, let's connect this summer when I'm there. Deal. So summer comes around. I'm trying to reach him, but like, Greeks in the summer are tough to reach because they got their vacations. He's got a family. He's got a kid.
And he's a busy guy, right?
He's doing a busy guy. Yeah. So one time I mentioned, hi, Mr. Cañada, bro. Next time, let me know in September. So we're end of September, we're in Kalamata. And Maria and I in Kalamata coming to the end of the trip. We have like a month left. And I text him and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be in Athens Monday. Hey, probably a cafe. And I'm like, okay. This is good.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So we get there and we meet him for coffee. It was me, Maria, and him, and one of the coolest dudes you're ever going to meet.
What's his name?
Savas Pumpuras.
Pumpuras. Shout out Savas.
Savas. Yep. So when I texted him in Kalamata, while I was in Kalamata, though, he didn't reply with text. He sent me a personal video. He was on his like daily run and he goes, he's running. He goes, yep. He just sent it back to me and just sent the video. He goes, we saw step in. Yeah. And I'm like, all right. So coffee's on for Monday. We go. We're having coffee. Really cool dude. Like amazing chat.
Amazing.
And he goes, why don't I just do a special on you guys on the Menigaki show? And I'm just like Larry David right now. Like, yeah. Mario, what do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty good.
Meanwhile, full on boner.
I think he noticed that he got ass at the
exactly.
So he starts calling his crew and they're like, hey, I want you to look up this guy, I am Grease. Look at his videos. I want to do a special on. Let me know what you guys think. He's showing them the videos while we're just having coffee still. He's talking to them. And he's like, all right, I think we could probably do this Thursday or Friday.
That week.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm like, look. Our flight back is Thursday, but listen, we're going to change that.
Yeah.
But just let us know when to change it. Like, because in case it's not this week, let us know to change it next week.
Right.
And he goes, okay, deal. Here's what we're going to do. Let's plan for Thursday, worst case Friday, but noon tomorrow, I'll call you. Confirmation. Next day comes around. And he goes, oh, and I'll wear the shirt tomorrow for you guys again on the show. So we put on Menigaki. He's got it on again.
Again, okay.
And then he calls me like 10 minutes later. Ella, Friday, 6 o'clock. I gotta go. Bye.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. But I want to backtrack to the night of coffee when he left, when we said bye. Nice meeting you. Bro, that walk to the car with Maria was one of the coolest feelings ever.
So what were you feeling? Like, what was it?
We were speechless. We were walking. We just didn't know what to say to each other. Because, like, we obviously, that was a goal of ours, was to do something to get on a TV show.
I always, and it was the Menegaki show, because that's the show my mother watched. My
sure.
Yeah, watched. So, like, growing up, for us, that was like,
if you're on that show, you did something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was the show in Greece.
That was the show.
And not just Greece. Yeah, there's 11 million people. Like, it's broadcast to another 10 million right. people.
Everyone in the diaspora watches. Yeah. Like, when my yaya comes over the house, Vladimir Menegak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, for me, there's no other show. Like, these young hotshots, great. You guys look great. You have a great audience, but you're not Menegak.
No. And you don't have that reach.
You don't.
Yeah.
Menegak is the most influential woman in Greece.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, I'm sure she still is.
Yeah, and she's a smoke show still at her age.
So we didn't get to go to the studio. They did this off-site, so we didn't get to meet Menegaki. But I actually looked at it as a good thing.
I got one more thing to go after.
Ah, there you go. There you go. So do you think... Sir, finish your...
Oh, I was going to say, that night, just to finish... we were speechless. Walking to the car, we just looked at each other like... We call her parent, like the family. We're like, my mother just lost her shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, what? And then, what happened? Yeah, we recorded the show at a coffee shop up in like near northern Athens. It was a really cool interview. And they're like, all right, it'll probably air Monday. Bro, Monday? Waited 2 weeks. But Maria had to leave because she had a job she promised she was going to help her mother with. And Monday comes around. I'm like, Ella, bro, what do you think? He goes, any day. They're finishing it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Oh, jeez.
And next week, guaranteed. Next week comes around.
And you're still sticking around waiting.
I'm like, Maria, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Let's stay as long as you can. And it got to the point where, like, it didn't cause tension between us, but it caused frustration because she had to go back.
Yeah.
I didn't yet. She could have gone back and come right back, but that's a waste of flying around the planet. And then one night, I'm like, you just have to have faith. Trust me. Give it to Monday. I know it's been 2 weeks, but give it to Monday. After Monday, do what you want. I want to watch it together here, and I don't want to watch it separately, and I don't want to watch it when you miss it because you're on a plane.
Right.
So Monday comes around, and we usually go to this coffee shop in the center to work, and she just didn't want to, she wasn't feeling it that day. She goes, I'm just going to stay in the house today to work from, just hang here. I'm like, all right, I'll go to the coffee shop. I'll be back later. I get in the car, and as I'm turning the ignition, I get a message from him, or a call. I get a phone call. I'm like, oh my gosh. Ella. He goes, Ella, deca lepta. He's just on the air. I'm like, yeah.
That's the heads up he gave.
I'm like, you promised me a 2-day notice.
Yeah.
Turn the car off. I run inside. Knock, knock, knock. Open the door. Open the door. She goes, what is it? She goes, I'm like, 10 minutes. We're on the air. What? Oh my gosh. We put the TV on. We're FaceTiming our parents. And it airs. And it was.
Cool segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And badass. All from an idea, right? Yeah. And then since then, it's opened up other opportunities.
Yeah. So that airing that, and I'm like, that Friday was difficult because Maria had like 1 foot out the door. She goes, I have to leave. Like, this is, I don't know what to do right now.
Right.
And then I'm like, just have faith. It's going to work and it's going to be special. And then we were both literally there FaceTiming our parents so they could watch it too.
Dude. So what are the learning lessons here? Like, if you look at, okay, you got on air, it created promotion for you, you've made money through other avenues resulting from that. What are the lessons? Like, was it A, send something to get someone interested in the clothing? Like, did that help? Right? Like, in my world, it's like, oh, cool, you follow up, you send stuff. If you had to look back and say, hey, this is what I would do to try to replicate something again, What would you do? What would you say?
To replicate what, this again?
Like this success that you had, someone listening, it's like, cool. Like, should I be sending stuff to people? Because people are busy and get bombarded.
This didn't come from sending anything.
Right, right, right.
Like, I think that was just a nice gesture to sort of befriend him.
Yep.
Yeah, and more came out of it with him. So he invites us over the house while before it aired, got to meet his wife, his kid, had coffee. And the goal was he also wanted to shoot 5 epipa whatever the clips with me. So we shot 5 different scenes up in his neighborhood. We did one where he's ordering a gyro like a Taurus, where he puts all the extra ingredients. We did one where he's revving his motorcycle. We did one from, I was standing on his balcony for something. And they were all great. They were all
amazing.
Great. And yeah.
So he's smart too. He's like, man, this series.
And he genuinely likes it because he comes from a prankster joke type of content creation too in his past.
Okay.
On YouTube, I believe.
Okay. And he's latching on. Yeah. Hey, this guy's getting millions and millions of views.
He genuinely liked it from what he was telling me. He goes, it's not the word you say, it's your delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
It's anybody can say about whatever, it's a big deal. But it's yours where you don't say the whole word either intentionally, which I love.
Yeah.
And that was always part of the idea. I don't want to just say about whatever there. It's too long of a word.
Yeah.
I want to sound like the 80-year-old Greek guy who's too lazy to finish
the
word.
To finish the word,
I said that since day one.
Yeah.
I wanted to sound like the old 80-year-old guy who's too lazy in life to spend enough breath to say the
to
word.
To say that word.
I want it to be, not about whatever thing, I want it to be, bad.
You lose it, yeah.
And then he got it. But there's people sometimes in the comments saying that don't know me. It didn't get a lot of hate. It got heavily good comments. But there's always be someone who's critical.
Sure.
And you'd get occasionally someone, can we get someone that's Greek to say it? He clearly doesn't know how to say it. And like, do you realize like everything you see on the internet is scripted?
Yeah.
Like, do you not think we thought this through?
Exactly. Exactly. So talk to me. Take us back. Like, how have you been able to create big followings? And then like, if you're teaching a master class, what are some do's and don'ts on like, hey, regardless of what industry you're in, you're trying to build company pages if you own a company and then your personal. Give some experience because you're an expert in this area.
Consistency and wear your passion in your sleeve. If you don't, it's just not going to grow. I think people need to see that this is genuine. This isn't just another typical page. This is somebody spilling their heart out. I get people that I meet that have known me through Instagram for 6 months, a year, 2 years. And the first thing they say when they want to give me a compliment is, I love the positive vibes you give out. Everything you do, there's no hatred. There's no nothing bad. You're always smiling. You're always positive. So put all that out there. Spill it out. If you're just going to go and post a picture of Santorini, you're going to say blue domes over Santorini. Why is that going to get traction?
Right.
We can see that everywhere.
Yep.
Get creative with it.
Yeah.
And just, and sound like a person. Don't sound like a machine spit out some evergreen text.
Yeah. So that's great advice. I love, because anybody could take photos of monuments around the world or areas, right? But I love on your personal page, you get the photos of you taking the photos in the media. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, like, you know, you're posing in front of the skyline in Santorini. And it's like, and then you see the end result. I'm looking at the TV right now so people see. I love that aspect. I'm like, huh. And then my mind's like, I wonder like how many cameras he had. What did he do for batteries?
And people appreciate reveals. So like if you see me behind the camera, they're like, all right, so he produced that literally with just that camera? That's cool.
Well, even looking at this stuff, I'm like, man, he was there because that was like an 8-minute shot. So he had to set it up on the side of the highway. And then he's it's work.
Yeah. You got to walk away so it doesn't capture you breathing.
Right.
Doesn't capture you stepping on the rocks.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Some of these scenes, I go 5-6 minutes. I would literally walk away and just sit there. And it's like, well, I'd either plan the next shot or this one is just dragging out because I'm shooting like the waves where I need a solid 10 minutes of it. Yeah, it's work because you're sitting there like, I want to go to the next scene, but I can't yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so that's advice on that. What are some things that you see online that people are doing that's just, it makes you cringe, where it's like, that's not how you build your personal brand? Like, for, and just to kind of throw it out there, it drives me nuts when you just see people and you're like, you clearly bought a following because the likes and the comments don't support, right? And you'll see someone who's like, all of a sudden it's like 30,000 people out of nowhere, but you get, it's like.
And what's sad is you can, a lot of people don't realize this and you can fool a lot of people. So all you have to do right now to create a scam account, really, buy yourself 100,000 followers, turn off commenting, buy 500 likes, buy 1,000 likes per post, and get yourself a blue check. So no one can comment this is a scam.
Right. And you're out
and
there.
And if they just constantly post that, oh, buy this t-shirt, you might make $100,000 that year from that. And maybe you don't send them the shirts.
Exactly. And who's going to report that?
Who are they going to report?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's a lot of ways you can get screwed online.
Absolutely. And just be careful. And then the other thing is, take your time. It's with anything in life. Things take time, and then you're going to have content that's going to hit or not.
Yeah. But I don't think that exactly answered your original question of like, what are some of the like tendencies people do that they shouldn't? I don't know, because I don't want to be critical, because everyone succeeds their own way. I just believe, like, don't be a douchebag. Yeah. That's it.
But what if
as long as you're not a bad person and a bad personality, there's no reason not to like somebody.
Right. Right. And then just the hater side of it. We were talking last night with Anthony at dinner about bad reviews, and he was telling me about this restaurant and like just a horrible experience, and he still didn't want to go and comment.
Yeah, yeah, right? I will never comment on Yelp.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if I have a bad experience.
Absolutely.
I ain't no rat.
No, no. And it's, even if it's a bad experience, like, now your name is in the world. Right. Like, I don't want to sit there and be like, they were so rude, and now my name's associated with that at the restaurant. Like, just let it be. Right.
Yeah. I actually have a really bad situation because of a Yelp review. And this doesn't relate to anything here. And you can crop this out if you want, if you don't think it fits.
Meanwhile, I'm going to clip this part out.
Yeah, right? So in my previous business that I was running, somebody left a comment being nice, and it cost me $15,000.
Okay. Someone commented being nice. Okay, you got to explain. How did that...
Got audited, and they said, oh, we believe you had a staff, because here it says you have a great staff. And they went back and added tax withholdings for 3 years. And I appealed it. And for the most erroneous reasons, they didn't allow me to appeal it. And now they said, be patient and appeal it when it gets assessed to your personal level.
Jeez. See? So
don't review.
Exactly. Don't review.
Well, you know what it could have been that day? I might have had a friend over at the store, and a customer came in. They probably helped them bring the box up.
Yeah.
And they just assumed, oh, that was the staff.
Yeah.
Great staff. The person didn't do anything wrong. They were just saying, oh, great experience. Staff helped me out.
Yeah, you got to be, it's so hard, because now we're putting everything online.
Yeah.
And people could just see, you know, even posting about kids. And I always challenge, like, man, should I be putting my kids out there? But it's on my clothes. Yeah, there's more evil than good out there, right? Talk to me. You said your previous life. So the family business was in the promotional.
Yeah, we space. Did screen printing, embroidery onto apparel, trophies, awards, engravings, laser cutting. It's a business my dad opened back in 89.
Yep.
2005. From like 2002, 2004, I was like, I'd come in part-time and help out. And 2005, I officially had taken over as the business owner. I ran it myself. And I did that up until the pandemic hit. Because a year or two before, actually more like 3 years before the pandemic hit, my brother started getting involved, because he had a career change. He went from the music industry. He was a DJ, flew out to Vegas every week.
Okay.
Would DJ at the Hard Rock and come right back.
Oh, jeez.
And then he had kids, and he goes, I don't want to do that ever again. Yeah. I don't want to fly out to Vegas every week just to DJ.
At the Hard Rock, too. Yeah. That was the spot for a long time.
Yeah. He even told me that Mark Cuban came up and requested a song one night, and he only gave him a $5 tip.
Come on. Are you kidding me?
Come on, Cuban.
$5. geez, our coffees were more than $5. Literally.
So he got into the business. He goes, since you're not really building out the trophy part, maybe I come in and I'll build that part of the business as my own company. Good, do it.
Yep.
And then when 2019 came around and I started coming to New York as a part-time here, he started helping run my side of it because he saw I had one foot out the door without saying
yep.
And he knew I wanted to do this Grease thing. So he's like, when the pandemic hit, we basically just talked about what are we going to do after this ends. And I'm like, maybe this is the perfect time for you to buy me out and I'm done. And it's time for me to take that leap of faith on this Grease thing. Cause like, if I keep dragging it out and the store supports me, I may never have to put myself against a wall to make it.
Yeah.
Cause you need to be pressured. Yeah. You do. If you're still too comfortable, it's harder.
Absolutely.
It
really is.
March 2020, I was done. He put a plan for when the pandemic ends to get things back rolling. And he has doubled the business from where I was at it.
Amazing, man. And you're doing your thing.
I'm doing my thing. And he doubled what the company was doing.
Oh, that's good to hear. Boston, we talked about this briefly in another session, but World Cup 1994.
Yes.
So you were what, 10 years old?
I was, 11.
11.
So my brother, 8, and my sister, 7. So my dad.
And I was 13. We came to Boston from Canada.
Yeah.
And so we probably bought stuff from you guys.
You may have, because we on the street before the stadium, we had a stand where, so he, through the store, he had a Diodora license. You remember Diodora?
I have an autographed one in a frame at home. Yeah.
So he had the official warm up.
Yeah.
The t-shirts, the World Cup 94 with the ball going like this. We had it all and he was cooking souvlaki. He had the grill going. So souvlaki and Greek apparel. He had the Greek national hat. Yeah. I think he ordered 10,000 of those.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And did he sell them up by the end of it?
Most of them. And then we had like 2 cases left that we buried in the store. And then he'd always hand one out to someone when they come by.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had gotten on the newspaper where they posted a picture of us like holding the shirts and souvlaki. And just basically, I don't remember what the headline was, but we have that somewhere.
That was a big first time ever Greece got to the World Cup.
Yeah. They didn't score a goal, right?
Dude.
Or they didn't win a game.
No, they didn't score. So
they didn't score.
So they lost 4-0, 4-0, 2-0, right? The game I went to was against Nigeria. They lost 2-0. And I remember going to that game. And then what are those? The mezuzahs?
Vuvuzelas.
Vuvuzelas, yeah. So remember getting that. I remember it was such a big deal. Going to the hotel the day of the game to meet the team. Because my cousin from Greece was friends with number 4.
Okay.
Knew him. And we're like, oh my God, we went there the day of. And the day of, I know I mentioned this before, we go to the hotel and they're smoking and drinking coffee. They were playing Nigeria that day. And I'm like, we shouldn't even have access to this now. Totally other world, right?
Yeah.
But how was it growing up in Boston? So your parents left Greece, migrated to Boston?
Yeah. So they immigrated from Greece and they ended up living in the same 2-family house. And that's how they met.
Yeah. I mean, kept it close, right?
Yeah. But my mother's dad was never supportive of it. One of my aunts was like the messenger for them, even though they lived.
Right.
And she'd be the one helping, a few of my aunts would be the one helping sneak out or get a letter to them and this and that. And then one year he just beeped and said, get in, let's get out of here. And they just drove to San Francisco and eloped. And then my mother's parents were distant for a bit, not forever, but like he was pretty upset about it, honestly. Yeah. I mean, my mother was young.
I have daughters now. I would murder mine if she did that, right? Like now I get it.
One extra layer to win my grandfather back over for my dad's side was, so I was actually supposed to be named Bobby and my brother's name was supposed to be Tony. But they said to get my mother's dad to be welcoming and to get back in the picture, let's name the first kid Tony after him as a nice little
gesture. Yeah.
So they did that. And by then things were warming back up and everything was fine.
That's awesome, man. So growing up in Boston, though, the Northeast, it's like, how was it just in general? So Boston, New York up, it's a tougher, raw environment. Yeah. Right. In that, you know where you stand with people from here, I find, right? I grew up in Canada. I lived in New York and I always knew people from the outside be like, New Yorkers are aggressive or they're assholes or they're this and that. But like when you live here, they're just real. You know where you stand, I find.
Yeah, I think so. No, I agree. No, you got it spot on.
You got it. Yeah, so in Boston, was it rougher in school, like going there and just...
No.
No. Good childhood type thing going up there.
It depends on where you were. Were you in the city or were you in a suburb? And I think there was a line in the sand between the two.
Right, right.
Where both were bad, but the ones in the suburbs knew how to get away with it.
Exactly. I mean, any city, I'm sure you have the good, the bad.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to ask you about AI in general. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Kind of going back to work. Is that helping you in your world with like the media, or is it?
Oh, it's doing everything for me.
It's doing it. It's doing everything. We made this coffee today using AI. Yeah, yeah. No, but I get it's like so quick, so new, and it's so useful in so many aspects, which kind of scares me right now. But we also use it in my business for so many different functions. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to develop custom softwares to help us with estimations and everything. But I feel like we're going all in on this.
Yeah.
Where, you know, could it impede on what you're offering at some point?
I think it's definitely benefiting, at least in my field. I think one thing people are going to realize soon, that if you go on like OpenAI site and you type in, I'm going to Greece for 10 days. Give me a beautiful itinerary. You're going to have it done in about 3 seconds, but you didn't hear that from me.
Right. But okay.
And it's going to be a good itinerary.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you. Is it a good one where you're like,
I've tested it. It works.
Cause it's pulling everything.
I can literally copy paste it and sell it off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I can tell it, okay, this person filled out these 50 questions about what they're looking for. Build me an itinerary based off this. So if you see, this is the list of places they don't want to see. They've already seen. Make it fit all the criteria.
Yeah.
And by the time you press enter, it's already spitting it.
Yeah. And then like, here's an example, and do that itinerary because someone in this group is handicapped and needs wheelchair access, right? Like it's so incredible how you could keep refining it, which scares me. And then you see so many jobs lost already from like journalists and all this stuff because it does decent enough work. Yeah. So then on the media side, you can also do stuff like photos and create. So are you embracing it?
I'm not using it really for photos because I don't think it's realistic enough.
Right.
But for instance, here's an example of how someone can take AI and basically build a news outlet. Let's say you wanted to spit out Greek news. You can literally take an article from another Greek outlet, say, reword this.
Yeah.
Copy, paste, put it on your site.
Yeah, absolutely.
What work did you do?
Yeah, nothing. You're creating the platform.
But if you have an audience, you're going to be people are going to read your article first.
Yeah.
Even though it's made off of this guy's article with AI.
Absolutely. I was talking to someone in the music industry that is creating AI artists, AI songs, and actually having careers, creating fake people, fake sounds, fake everything.
And there's already fake models on Instagram.
Yeah. Influencers, all this stuff.
Fake influencers. That post daily, they look the same every day. They might be wearing a different outfit. They might be doing it. And they've gotten to the point where they have enough audience where they can sell promotion.
That's insane. Yeah. But I don't know. On my end, the minute I see that, like you'll even see videos online and you're like, oh, dude, that's so AI generated. It's got the voice.
Yeah.
But at what point is everything being generated by computers? Where on our end, the minute I know that, I don't even want to consume it.
Right.
So I don't know.
It's going to be tough. Like maybe they need to come to an agreement where posts are certified real at this point.
That's a great idea.
But will the whole world get on board with that? Unlikely.
Unlikely. You know, and plagiarism and everything. Yeah. So personal life, you recently got engaged.
Yes. I finally did it, guys.
Let's talk about the nerdy Greek.
I finally did it. Ah, the nerdy Greek. So, man, actually, if it wasn't for everything I do here, I don't know her right now for Greece Media, at Greece, all that stuff. Because she was following me on all my accounts, all of them, even down to my personal one. And I didn't know. It was just a random follower. And one year, when I went to Greece the summer of the pandemic, I came back with incredible content. Content you can never reproduce. Empty Greece in the middle of the summer just doesn't happen anymore. So one of my devices crashed like a week after I came back, and it shouldn't have bothered me the way it did, but because I lost some stuff and I was like, oh, I can never recreate this, I got into my feelings to the point where I was miserable. Oh my gosh. Anyone around me is like, I don't like you anymore.
Yeah.
And me and my buddy were working every day out of like a cafeteria. And he's like, you want to just get away and like go on a trip? And I'm like, what do you got in mind? Because I could really use it right now. He goes, yeah, I know. I could tell. And he goes, let's go down to Florida. I'll rent a car. We'll drive. They'll stop in D.C. We'll stop in Atlanta. And we'll go down to Tarpon Springs in Miami. And we even came up with the idea in Tarpon, let's do like a little documentary and like interview Greek owners and stuff like that. So we did all that. We went down, we stopped in D.C., we stopped in Atlanta. In Atlanta, we met up with another Greek influencer that lives there. We had Yido with her, had a great time. And then we moved it along. And we got to Tarpon. We did our little documentary, which we've never pieced together yet, which bothers me because we got some good quality videos.
Really?
Interviewing all the owners on the street, in the popular touristy street. Then we headed off to Miami. And I stayed off social this week just because like it was a getaway. But I posted one story. Because on the touristy street in Tarpon, there's this purse. There's this little kiosk that sells sponges, and they were demonstrating how to squeeze an organic sponge correctly. So I'm like, oh, can I get a picture, video, quick video of you doing that? And I posted it on my story, and I get a reply when I'm in Miami. We're at South Beach. We're just chilling on the beach, me and him. And I just get I'm going through my story replies, and I see one from somebody, and I just read it, and it says, oh, is that Tarpon Springs? And I'm like, I reply, oh, yeah, it is, but I'm down in Miami now. And then like an hour or two later, she replies saying, oh, if you're ever back in Tarpon, I'm from here. If you want, let me know. I can show you around. And this was really just a nice gesture for her as a host. There was nothing more to it from what she says.
I call bullshit. Yeah. But go on, yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I might actually be back in a few days because after Miami, my buddy's leaving for LA. I might stay down here a little longer. We'll see. I had another friend in Sarasota. She said, oh, if you're in Florida, come by. Let's hang out for the day. I went there. And from there, it's only 45 minutes back to Tarpon. So I messaged her. I'm like, hey, I'll be in Tarpon tomorrow if you want. Let's grab that coffee. Oh, cool. What do you want to meet? I'm like, I got to know this place, Lati. Let's meet there. Great. I know the place. We'll be there. So we plan to meet there. I got there. So I needed a haircut badly. So I went and got a haircut that morning. And the lady, because I usually get my fade with the plastic clips, and okay, she had metal clips. And the metal ones, if you say the number, it's like half of the plastic. So she got skin the whole way. So like it was the point where like if you get the picture of the angle, look, I had no hair.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is going to be embarrassing. I'm going to meet this girl and I'm going to look awful. And so she comes in, super shy, cute, and being all cute, comes up to me and she sits down and we're just talking. Came up really nice. And she's like, oh, I can show you the street if you want after. Let's go for a walk. We went for a walk. And we made plans to do it again the next day. And then that night we had went to dinner, but we had went to see a friend of mine has a Lucumada stand, which turns out to be my cousin after a while, we figured out.
Of course.
Yeah. And I take her there, and my cousin like takes a picture of us eating Lucumadas. So I'm like, she might be catching on at this point that I'm into her. This might have been day three. Day two, we went for dinner somewhere, and I wanted to say something that night. I did. I tell her to this day. I'm like, I chickened out. I wanted to tell you that night, but I let you get in the car and leave. And then day three, we went for Lucumadas that night. And then she goes, if you want to hang out tomorrow, I can't, but I can the day after. So the day after comes around, like, oh, and that day when she said that, I walk her to the car. I'm like, here's another chance, Tony, say something. I get her in the car, I close the door. I'm like, see you tomorrow. I got so nervous. So then fifth day comes, she meets up and she goes, oh, you're still here? That's awesome. Cause like, I kept telling her I have to leave. Each day I kept extending my trip. I kept telling her, which was true because I did have to get back or something. But I knew I had up to the fifth day to push it. And I'm like, I got to leave tomorrow, though. This time I'm not lying. I know I've been telling you this every day. I might actually be leaving today at 5. But if I don't leave at 5, I was thinking about going down to St. Petersburg because I didn't see that part. Would you want to come with me? Oh, yeah, sure. So now I'm like saying bye to her at like 4 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, I'm heading up to Boston. But, you know, you should come up sometime. I'm like really awkward hitting on her.
Hitting on her the most awkward way.
She goes, oh, yeah, come up. And I'm like, all right, she's into me. She's saying this crap. But I still, for some reason, just like chickening out. And then I just let her leave and I text her half hour later. I'm like, hey, I am going to stay. Let's go to St. Pete. She goes, all right, I'll come back in about an hour. So I'm texting my friend now that lives in Guaymas, the same one that did those videos with us. She's originally from LA, but she's been living in Guaymas for a few years. And I'm like, I chickened out. I know I was giving her the update all week because I told her I met someone that this and that. And I'm going to, she goes, Tony, when she comes back, enough of this bullshit. No more extend to tomorrow. My leg is and this and that. Fucking say it right now. I'm done with this shit. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. So she comes back and she gets out of the car and I just start like, I have this huge smirk on my face. I know it's going to come out this time. And I'm like, it's pretty obvious now, right? And she's still not catch. She didn't catch on. She goes, obvious what? I'm like, it's obvious that I like you. And I went in for a hug. Cause I'm like, it's gotta be 90%.
Yeah.
And she just goes, and I'm like, don't worry about it. I just need to get that out. Like, I want you to know.
Where's the hole for me to climb in?
But if you do want to go to St. Pete, we can still go. And she got in the car. She got in the car. I'm like, holy shit, she got in the car. This is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's a 45-minute drive.
Oh, jeez. White knuckling this.
It's just quiet the entire time. I'm like, oh, clear skies out there. And she's like, yeah. We're not talking. We get down to St. Pete. We find this restaurant with an outdoor patio. We order food and I'm literally finding reasons to talk. I'm like, oh, people walking by.
Yeah. It's awkward. Yeah.
So then we finish the food and she runs to the bathroom. And I text my friend, I'm like, it went bad. This and that. And she goes, whoa, pump the brakes. It's either two things. It's either you've been lying to me all week about everything you've guys done, or she is into you. Just give her time. I'm like, all right, I trust you. I put the phone away. She comes back. I'm like, you want to go for a walk by the pier? We're literally on the water. She goes, yeah, sure. Quiet as hell. We'll walk in. We're just walking into like darkness right now. And like, it's just the two of us and no one's talking. And then she just lets out this, the longest so. She goes, so? And I'm like, finally, thank God. She's going to say something. And then she's like, about what you said earlier. I'm like, yes, speak.
Yeah, because I'm going to jump off this pier right now.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, yeah, it's over here. And I'm like, she goes, the way I react is not actually how I feel. And I'm like, oh, that's a pleasant surprise. And so then I'm like, now I don't know how to act now. Because I'm like, you just put me through hell.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice.
I'm trying to give her back what she gave you. Yeah.
So I'm like, cool, like, yeah, that's nice. And like now, like we both agree, we'd like to get to know each other, whatever. So I'm like, there's a rooftop thing at the end. It appears. Do you want to go up there, sit down for a drink? She goes, yeah, that'd be nice. So we went up there. She started to loosen up a bit, and I'm like, so I do have some bad news. I can't extend this trip anymore. I do have to leave tomorrow. However, I do want to come back next month and get to know you. And she goes, yeah, no, that'd be awesome. So we're driving back home now. She passes out halfway through the ride. I'm just driving by myself. I drop her off and I didn't make a move or nothing. I just said, she put me through hell. She's waiting until next month.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I told myself after I drop her off, if she FaceTimes me instead of texting or call, I'm in. And then like 10 minutes later, she FaceTimes to make sure I got home. And like, I think I'm good. So then.
So you knew that trip, like.
And then I went back and we just did the FaceTime thing every day in the evening, just kind of like watch TV together. And honestly, that month is what built the foundation.
Okay.
Being apart and getting to know each other was probably the most critical part of our relationship. If we went right into it, it could have been just a quick flip.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys slowly learned about each other and everything.
Without being near each other.
Yeah.
And then a month later, right after New Year's, on New Year's Eve, my sister gave birth her first kid. And then 4 days later, I took off to come down back to get to know Maria. And I spent a few weeks down there and things took off from there.
The rest is history. And she's been a rock, right? Like even seeing like she's a big supporter.
Yeah, huge supporter. She's my biggest fan. I'm a biggest fan.
Well, even before it was like, dude, wife her up. It's time.
And so here's the funny part. In that DM, I went back to look at her reply after a while and I scrolled up. And we had a small exchange 2 months prior. And I'm like, Maria, you DM'd me in the past. She goes, yeah, I know. I didn't make an impression though, huh? And I'm like, holy shit. But it was just one of those basic, she saw a story about Greece, and as a fan of the page, she replied.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was the sliding doors in Athens, and she replied, oh, those are the best doors. Like, that doesn't need a reply.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, yeah, but look at it. It didn't really need a reply. She goes, I'm not actually bothered.
I got you in the end. Yeah, We're good. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And I'm like, so you double texted me.
Yeah. So you'll always have that over her head the rest of her life.
So to this day, she'll tell people that she slid in my DMs. Is how we
have. That's good.
She says it.
It sounds better from her coming.
But her family's in complete shock because they said, we've never, ever, ever witnessed her do something like that, to reach out and make that move, to make it happen. When they said that my daughter did that, I was like, you got the wrong person. She's not that person.
She's not that person.
But she just, something made her do it, she said. She goes, I don't normally do that. I never thought I would ever do that. But I just said, hey, it's worth.
That's awesome, yeah. Dude. I wish you guys.
Thank you, man.
Good future. Kids, lots of kids.
Thank you.
Tarpon Springs.
Yes.
Give the listeners, Tarpon Springs, Florida, what does that mean? There's people in Greece that talk about Tarpon Springs. And what's that place that all these Greeks from one island are from? So give us a little head up.
So sponge diving is really, sponge diving in Tarpon Springs is a big, big thing, always has been. And obviously sponge diving in Kalymnos was always a big thing. And way back when, a lot of Kalymians took off for either two places, Darwin, Australia, and Tarpon Springs, Florida.
Really?
So they're the two largest Kalymian diasporas in the world. And they came there to sponge dive for work. And there's literally three. If you go down, what's the main street is called Dodecanese. It's off of the main alternate highway. There's a Greek flag on every pole of the street. Every store is either a Greek gift shop, a Greek sponge shop, a Greek this, a Greek restaurant, a Greek that, a Greek that. And then there's two side streets. So this is called Dodecanese. This one's called Athens. This one's called Hope, Elpida. And it's just a portion of Tarpon Springs dedicated to Greece/Kalymnos.
Very cool. Yeah. And Kalymnos is an island in Greece. Yes. And you're...
My mother's side is from Kalymnos. Yeah. But this street is all tourists in the winter. There is a Greek community that does go there occasionally. They'll go there for the coffee shop, the bar, maybe one restaurant. But most of it, when you go there, are tourists on vacation, checking out a part of Florida. Because really? They hear Tarpon Springs is awesome.
So from a Greek community in the United States, Astoria still number one? Like, where would you rank the top three-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Boston, Astoria.
Yeah, I'm biased, Boston. But.
Astoria's huge. But Tarpon Springs, from what they say, is more numbers. Not more numbers. More numbers per capita.
Yeah. Concentrated as well.
Yeah.
So Greek islands, give the listener some, you're an expert. You've been there. You don't just go for 2-3 days. Like, you actually go and stay for extended periods, capture content. Let's give them some lists here. What are your three all-time islands?
That's
not mainland.
That's a tough question.
It's a tough one. And I'm sure it changes every time.
It changes every single year.
Okay. Let's reframe this.
No, I'll give you
single, no kids, no fiancés. What are the top three destinations for someone single to go see? And we're going to go through families. We're going to go through everything.
All right. You got to look, obviously, Mykonos, Santorini, you get a lot of, not hate, but like, all right, I've seen that. I don't need to go there anymore. So should we leave those out? Or if you're single, you got to go see Mykonos.
You have to.
You got
to. Yeah, absolutely.
Ios is another one for singles. I think Paros can be seen as a singles person too. I think it's not just singles, but I think a single person can have a great time there. Milos is a really popular island now, but it's a couples island.
Okay.
It's really grown in popularity. Those are the ones in the Kyklades that are kind of like scream that.
Scream that. What about, okay, so now couples, like, cause you could go to any island with anyone, but like, what do you say is more couples friendly and love?
I would say probably, I think Paros doubles up. It can be a couples island too. So you got Paros, Naxos. Actually, Naxos, I'd probably go family. So let's go Paros and Milos, and maybe come on the other side and go to like Zakynthos, Kefalonia,
yep,
Lefkada, Kerkira.
All beautiful islands.
Yeah.
Yep. And then
I'm not, the reason I'm not saying a lot of the Kanis Islands, because they're kind of tough to get to, they're far, but islands like Rhodes is really nice, but that can also be seen as a family island, sort of like Crete and Naxos.
And Naxos, yeah. So then family islands now.
Yeah. Family, you got to go Crete.
Yeah.
You got to go Rhodes, Kefalonia, Paros, Naxos. Those are the ones that scream. I'll add one more for singles, Koufonissi, unique island.
No way, I've never been. What's good there? It has a good night scene or?
Nothing.
Oh, really?
It's basically, you're there to just like escape and do nothing. Just sit at the beach all day.
Yeah.
There are some beach bars and like a couple mini bars, but you're not going to find a club or anything like that. Everything is walking distance. There's a boat taxi that'll take you beaches to beach. So you just hop on. I think it's like 50 cents and you can ride it as long as you want to get to the next beach. It's pretty unique. It doesn't have a lot of development on the island,
right?
It's known as quietly as an Athenian getaway.
Okay.
I left out some islands like Spetses is a nice option. Families, even couples, in the Saronic. And then I think Patmos has grown as a singles destination.
It's funny you say Patmos. We're working with local government right now to do street lighting there.
Okay.
In Patmos, and I've never been. So I'm like, give me an excuse to go there to light that bad boy up as well. But have you been to Patmos?
I went to Patmos for a day when I was leaving the Kanis. I want to split my trip up back to Athens. And I said, I want to go see the Cave of Revelations.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
That was the only reason I said. I'm like, if I'm going to go there, I want to see something unique.
Yeah.
And nowhere else in the world can they say the Bible is written there, right? So I went. I finally got inside. It was not what I expected. I was expecting this, like, all it is literally just like this corner of this room in like a cave format.
And that's it.
That was it. So but it had a lot of buildup. They've built like a building around it. So when you go in, it's sort of like a shrine / museum, and then you lead up to the cave.
Souvenirs over here. Yeah, yeah. So wait, I don't know the history. So part of the Bible was written?
The Book of Revelations was written there.
Right there? Yeah. By who?
I think St. John?
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to get some comments on that. How dare you?
How dare you get it wrong, it was Mr. Paul. I am Greece.
Yeah. It was Paul. I'm like, all right, I don't know.
You're gonna be every priest I know.
Exactly.
Blasphemy.
So yeah, it's just magical there. So anything else for the Americans that are booking? Greece last year surpassed the highest numbers ever,
yeah.
Right? 30 million plus.
Yeah, every year it's just breaking numbers.
Breaking numbers. Hotels are through the pricing's through the roof. Any tips or advice when people are booking versus just like Marriott.com and...
Go to greece-media.com.
There you go. No, but honestly, like, what are you bringing to the table that tour operators, like, do you have different access to?
Yeah, I do have different access to some tours and some hospitality deals. So we can probably get you a better deal than you'll find online. Some of them are going to be the exact same ones you find online.
Yep.
I'm not going to sit here and make anything up, but some stuff, yes, I can find better deals. Like boat tours on some of the islands, I have direct access with the operator. So if you're booking on a site like Viator, which TripAdvisor makes, you're paying them a premium because they got to take their cut. The way Airbnb takes their cut, everyone's got to take their cut. I always pitch that Grease Trips program that we do where we design a trip where to pay me for that Grease trip will save you more on your trip than you did to pay me for that.
That's incredible.
Because there's little things that'll save you. So like you might have booked this and that ticket to get here and that ticket there, but I found a way where why'd you pay for a ferry and a boat that day when you could have just taken this ferry and you didn't have to pay for a hotel that night?
Yeah.
And that just saved you $400.
And your fee is a cut and it makes total sense. So we're in New York City, right? I know you have places to go. I appreciate you sitting down with me. Anything in closing on where to find you? Anything to talk about, like future plans? Like what do you want to leave the listeners with?
We do have some new stuff coming soon. We're building something for those that are looking for accommodations in Greece. So when it comes to villas, hotels, and stuff like that, stay tuned. We got something special coming.
Rentals or?
This is going to be, it's going to benefit the host and the guest. So we're building a platform that's going to eliminate booking fees for the host, and it's going to guarantee the best possible rate for the tenant.
Excellent. That's going to be great, because you're seeing a lot of property owners there
frustrated by paying booking $100 or $200 a night.
Absolutely.
So the way this will work is you'll come to this specific site we're building. You'll type in Santorini. You'll type in the date, not necessarily the dates. This is going to be more of a directory. So then when you find the hotel you like, there's going to be a few buttons. It's going to say book through the host or book on booking.
Yep.
And if you click book on booking, that's on you. You're going to pay more.
Yep.
But we're going to tell you to not look at that, but we might even eliminate that button.
Yep.
But by pressing book through the host, it'll take you directly to that hotel's booking site where you know you're getting the best rate and you know it's available. Where sometimes you book on booking, you get a message the next day, oh, that wasn't available.
Absolutely. So when I lived in Kerkira, Corfu, I was part of the tourism side. So I would help the business development side. And I remember working with like the local hotels, right, with my director of the office. And this is where I was first introduced to, this is going to lead to the listeners knowing how to save money, but they pre-sell their rooms, right? So a hotel that has 100 rooms, for example, may say, you know what? I don't want to manage the booking. I just want my guaranteed cup for the season. Let me sell it to TUI or whatever the big tour operators are. And then you're at their mercy, whatever they want to charge, right? But by going direct, you eliminate the fees. Like it's a big deal. If you can get that up and running, I think it would change game locally. And then Airbnb locally, it's just a lot of fees, like on the property owner side.
No, for sure. No, the platform is pretty much ready. We're basically entering the onboarding phase of getting people to list their listings.
Yeah. And that's a big task, right?
Huge. Because you can go two options. You can scrape the internet and put everyone on there and ask them to claim it. Or just keep it. I didn't want to go that route. I wanted to go the route where if you found us before everybody else, you get a benefit of being one of the fewer listed early on.
Yes, absolutely. So when do you plan on launching that?
The goal was probably this spring. I think we're still on board for it. We just, right now, we've been kind of soft launching it. We've been teasing it. You can go to the website. The website's called GreekNest.com.
Okay.
You can go there and you can say, it'll ask you where you're trying to view, where you're trying to stay. Or if you're a host, you just press the little button on the top that says add hotel. It'll ask you to make an account and then it'll show you our free options and our paid options.
Amazing. Yeah. Good luck
with that. Free options, basically, you can list it for free, but we're going to send them to booking.com.
Yep.
But you're going to be on this platform. It's extra exposure. A paid program will get them to come directly to you, skipping booking, skipping Airbnb. They'll either call you, email you, or go through your website to book.
Perfect. Awesome, man. Any other things coming up that... That's a lot of stuff. No,
I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, we covered Greece. We covered the Teddy Key Classic. We covered the Nerdy Greek.
The Nerdy Greek. Shout out, Maria.
Yes.
And just keep growing. Final question. What are your plans for just your accounts? Are there numbers and targets that you want to hit, or is it just...
I sort of stopped paying attention to, like, I don't want to say not pay attention. I look at it, but I no longer rely on it to say, okay, we need to get to this number to continue doing this.
Yep.
I think we reached a point now where we have a global audience. So let's just put our products in play.
Perfect. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to chase a number, you're going to be chasing a number forever.
Yeah, right? Yeah, forever.
What's the point of that? Oh, we hit a million. Okay, let's wait till 2 million.
Yep. Well, and then it just becomes a cycle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, keep rocking. Thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Invigorate Your Business with George Strombolos. Please hit the subscribe and like buttons and follow me on all the main podcast streaming channels. Also, please share your comments when you can. I appreciate your help in expanding this network to a worldwide audience. Until next time, stay invigorated.